What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Rock Your Brand podcast. Today, we are going to be sharing with you some SEO things that have been revealed from Etsy themselves. And this was posted and we figured we would dig into it and go over these. So this way here, we know exactly what we should be focusing on as far as Etsy side of things. Okay. What they're publicly saying, what they're revealing to us to allow us to create better listings. All right. Now, with that all being said, this is not the only thing that's going to allow you to rank for search keywords. Okay. It's not. There's other things, and we'll talk about those here as we go through what they're announcing. And then we'll give you our thoughts on, number one, how to implement these if you're not already implementing them, but also what you can do to fuel the optimization side of things, because that's just one side of the SEO game. Now, with that all being said, we've got a fully packed live stream here today. Okay. We've got some things that we're going to share with you, some other things that came out in the Etsy landscape and Etsy news. And we're going to share it with you. Some things are really, really exciting because, it's things that can help us sellers. But there's been one thing I do have to kind of just let you guys know is, like, I don't know if you guys have been hearing about, there's been some coupon stuff going on, and there's a crackdown. So we're going to go ahead and dig into that. I'm just going to throw that out there. If you've heard of any of this coupon stuff, stay tuned. We're going to dig into that as well. And I'll just tell you, Etsy's got some big plans to push Etsy sellers very, very soon. And actually, one thing that they're doing right now is officially kicked off. And we're going to talk about that. So with that all being said, Chris, I think I teed this up pretty well. I'm pretty excited. Where you want to start?
Before we jump into this, we got to give a shout out to our amigo Pedro over here, who said, Scott, 5 minutes ago, he just got his first sale. And I know he's been hanging around for a while. He is a YouTube member, meaning he has that backstage pass, and he's been hanging out with us there. I know he does have an upcoming shop audit as well. So now that he's getting some of that data coming in, that'll be a little bit more useful for him as well moving forward. So I'm going to give a shout out to Pedro. And Scott,
awesome.
You know, when people talk about SEO, and I'm seeing it in the comments already, the thing they tend to focus on is the keywords side. And that's kind of where we say, okay, like, get your SEO right. When we say that, that's really what we're talking about, the way that we look at this. Now,
yeah.
The other side of this, and this was confirmed by the Etsy insiders who shared their thoughts on a bunch of different Etsy seller listings, right? It's not just about the keywords. It's about how we're using the keywords. It's about where we're using the keywords, and it's about the other things that lead to, Scott, clicks to your listings and sales, which is something you and I have been harping on for the last 2 years or so as it relates to the Etsy ecosystem. And so it's nice to have some internal validation. And yeah, for those of you guys who don't know what we're talking about, Etsy, Elysian Workshops, that's a very dangerous game, especially given the fact that it's right behind me on the wall here. So Etsy did what they called Etsy-EO, which is a really cute name, right? But basically what they did was they went into the seller forum and they said, hey, if you want us to do a listing review for you and give you some SEO feedback as Etsy, post your listing here. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll come through and we'll have Etsy employees, Etsy insiders, give their thoughts and advice. And they did like 50 or 100 of these, Scott. But what we did was we combed through all of those results and we pulled out the ones that are not just the most interesting, but also the most relevant. What does that mean? So they had a bunch of different types of employees, everything from administrative assistants to their head of, you know, like their CMO, go in and do some of these listing audits for existing Etsy sellers. What we did was we combed through all of those and we looked at, for anybody who would have real insight or potential real insight into how their algorithm actually works. So people who said, I work on the SEO team, here's the things that you should do. Those are the ones that we pulled out as the most important. Now, obviously, could anybody at Etsy have some insight into how their algorithm works? Yeah, But the people day to day working on this probably have the most insight. And even though they're going to give us a little bit, you know, they're not going to say do exactly this. They're going to give us some generic pointers. Those are going to be the people actually working on the SEO or on the traffic or communicating how SEO works to Etsy sellers, which is one of the ones that we, right? Those are going to be the people who have the most useful and direct insight. So we wanted to take a look at a few of those. So what I did, Scott, was I took a screenshot of the advice back from the Etsy team.
Yep.
And I grabbed each of the individual listings. So how do you want to kind of work our way through these?
We're going to go ahead and pull them up. Before we do though, Chris, I want to know, and anyone that's here live or that's here on the replay, if you have any questions on SEO or what is your main sticking point or your main, like, I guess, struggle with understanding SEO, I'd be just curious to see what that is. If you guys can leave that in the comments, and then if you have any questions on SEO, we'd be more than happy to answer those to the best of our ability, of course. But Chris, I would say let's go ahead and pull them up and let's start going through these different points that were highlighted. So this way here, we can kind of discuss them and start to dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah. So you want to pull up the feedback. And then if we want to dive into one of those more specifically, we can jump into that particular listing. So guys, let me know if you can see and hear us, right?
Let me know. It might be hard to read that, Chris, but we'll go ahead and read some of it.
Yeah. And some of these are smaller, right? So this is the first one that we got back, and this was for a digital Valentine's Day card. And this piece of feedback specifically was from somebody who said they're on the SEO team at Etsy. And that's what really called this out to me, Scott. And there's a lot of things in here that are like, hey, I really like your stuff. Cool. But the things here in bold are the points that I really want to hit. And the first one here, Scott, is a theme I saw come up again and again regarding the video you added, right? So they talk very specifically a bunch of times, and we'll see this come up again and again, about the use of videos. And they seem to really be pushing that heavily. And in this particular case, they said, hey, you know, you have a video, awesome, but it doesn't feel like it's really adding anything since they can already see all of those images on the listing. If you can, right, consider making a video with a human in it. They're a great way to bring the final product to life to help your future buyer imagine how they'll look for it. So make sure you're taking advantage of it. And Scott, I know you and I have talked a few different times about the pros and cons of video. And one of the questions we get all the time is, why or how, if I'm trying to improve my SEO, should I pay attention to video? So what is the impact of video on SEO in Etsy? Does it actually help you rank better based on our experience?
Yeah, see, I wouldn't look at it as a ranking factor directly. And I think that's the big thing here. What it is doing, and just imagine this for a second, and you know, as a user of Etsy, not just a seller, think about yourself. If you are scrolling and then you see a video playing, okay, and usually it's going to be like zooming in on the product, or I'll give you an example. We did an Etsy shop audit. Actually, it was an Etsy ads audit, and that won't air for another few weeks or a couple weeks. I forget when it is. But when we were doing that, we suggested that this lady was selling stickers for the back of a car. And she just had the sticker laying flat and that was it, right? It wasn't even mounted. But on a video, you could literally just walk up to the car, pull back out a little bit, turn the camera, you know, show the quality. And what that's going to do is immediately it's going to grab your attention. It's going to immediately grab your attention. So the attention piece, as someone is scrolling, that's step one of what that's doing. Step two is it's going to probably get you to want to click in. All right. And then when we get people to click in, what happens? We have a better chance of converting to a sale. And what does that do? That also helps the algorithm because the algorithm is looking at sales. So that's how I look at video. I don't look at video as like, oh, you put video in and then the algorithm says, let's rank them higher because they followed the rules and they put video in. That's not how this is working.
Well, and I think the thing people still don't understand is that we still don't have a great way of understanding exactly what's inside of a video. So it's not like Etsy is parsing those images out, Yeah. Right. That's coming in the next few months or the next few years of really understanding what's contained inside a video. But this is something even YouTube still struggles with. So to think that Etsy understands the context of that particular video and is going to use that as a ranking factor.
Yeah.
Not what they're talking about here. What they're talking about here is the impact it has on click-through rate and conversion. We'll see that tip specifically come up again and again from the people who are on the Etsy SEO team as we look at these listing reviews. Scott, I'm going to go ahead and move on with this one. The next one, I think this, go ahead.
Before you do, in the comments, who's using video right now in their listings? Let us know that in the comments. Who right now is using video in their listings? Even if it's not all of your listings, we'd be curious to see that as well. Let's get a little poll going here. Even on the replay, if you guys are watching this later.
And I think that's the biggest takeaway that I got from this first piece of advice. And again, we'll see this kind of pop up a few different times, is that any video is better than no video.
Yeah.
But good video is better than any video, right?
Exactly.
So let's get any video up and then come back and start to focus on how we can make it better for individual products. And we see a similar pointer pop up as number two here, which is, you know, the images are good, but a few different pointers. If you can get a human holding it, that gives context, right? Yeah. And this is something you and I talk about. Again, this is not a search engine optimization keyword tip. Why would somebody on the Etsy SEO team, Scott, be giving advice on supporting images? It's not something that's a ranking factor because Etsy doesn't know what those images necessarily are, even if we fill out the anchor text, right? Or not the anchor text, the alt text, right? So why would they...
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Nope, Chris was making a very good point, and I think the internet didn't like that. So I'm going to fill in. There he is. Now he's back.
So why would Etsy be advocating for those supporting images as something in their listing? He's not talking about that first image, which is the only thing that shows up in the search results.
Yeah.
Why would they be advocating for those additional images?
Yeah. Again, I think it comes down to like the more that you could show that you can show the product in use or size, like you said, Chris, like seeing it in someone's hand. I mean, how many times have we seen this too, where you'll see like a quarter next to the item to show you like the comparison of like a quarter to that, so you understand the size of it, because they don't want you to get the product, you know, that's not represented the way that you think it, you know, the size or whatever. So there's a lot of different reasons for the images that will also help to support, you know, the conversion of that image. But the video, which is really cool. And Chris, why do you think they put it in the second image slot too, by the way?
So that it's there and it's the next thing someone exactly. clicks on, right? It's the first thing that they see until they get into the listing.
Exactly.
And then once it's there, they see that main image and they're going to watch it. If they're looking at any of the supporting images, that's going to be the next thing that comes up. So I thought it was interesting, Scott, that from Etsy SEO themselves, right? Somebody who works on their search engine team, the first two things, not about keywords, not relevant to keywords. Both of these things are about improving click-through rate and conversion rate. I'm going to go ahead, Scott, and I'm going to skip the Google SEO tip because they're talking about publishing on social media, not really relevant to Etsy SEO specifically. They move on to the title of the listing. This is a little bit more generic, and they're basically saying, hey, try to include some more long tail keywords such as Valentine's Day card for him or watercolor Valentine's Day card instead of just generic Valentine's Day card. Scott, why is it beneficial to use the long-term version or the long tail version of that keyword versus just saying Valentine's Day card?
Well, first off, you almost want to put it in as it's being typed in. So like the more direct that we can be, the more exact that we can be on that search term is going to be more relevant. That will give us the opportunity to show up because no one else is targeting exactly that long tail. But the other thing is it gives you more opportunities inside of that long tail that aren't just the one keyword or the two or three like Valentine's Day card. Or if it's for a specific niche, there's a lot of Valentine's Day cards competition-wise, but if you put in there pet Valentine's Day card, now all of a sudden we have that, or personalized Valentine's Day card. We're still there, but we're putting something on the front or the back of it that could also add more reach, not just the broad. And it doesn't eliminate it, but it helps us with competition. So those are my takes on why we want to use that long tail.
Yeah. And so let's just go with for bass fishing. Valentine's Day card for bass fishermen, right? Does that phrase, Scott, contain the words Valentine's Day and the word card? Yes.
Yes.
Right? So Etsy looking at that gives us the same level of weight as if we just typed in Valentine's Day card, comma, for fishermen, yes, comma.
Right.
If you read through the way that Etsy talks about this in their handbook, they specifically say, as long as it's there, that counts for that swipe left, swipe right Tinder test, right? Mm-hmm. You qualify if it's there. The thing that makes it interesting is if you add in who it's for, that is one, more human readable, two, gives you additional keywords in those first 60 characters, and three, when you show up in the search results and somebody types in bass fishing Valentine's Day card and yours says Valentine's Day card for bass fishermen, that makes you then more relevant than anyone else. Now, granted, if you're selling a generic Valentine's Day card, then maybe you just go with the generic version. But if we can write this as a long tail keyword that includes our niche. I'm seeing some Spanish questions come in through the live chat today, so I figured I'd throw that out. If we can include that, then we're going to be more relevant in the Etsy search for anything related to our niche, and we're going to be more relevant in the eyes of the customer, again, leading back to that higher click-through rate and the potential for the higher conversion rate.
Yep.
We see the same thing pop up, Scott, in the last piece of advice that's given here, which is the listing description. And they say, you know, I like that you have different sections broken up. It helps with readability. So they are saying it is important for it to be readable. Don't just dump everything in there, because if somebody's looking for something, they need that piece of information. But they're again saying, probably add a section saying who this is for. Why are they doing that? It's to capture those long tail searches of exactly who this is for. And Etsy has said, even though the first few words, I think it's the first 50 or 60 characters of that title are weighted the heaviest, your titles, tags, and descriptions, every word that you type in there is indexed by Etsy and is a ranking factor. So if we're not including who it's for, we potentially lose out on all of those searches for people who are typing in every variation of Valentine's, bass fish, and card, right? Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you noted out of this one, Scott, before we jump into number two?
Yeah, no. I think we've covered that. I think the big thing for people to understand is you don't have to be so literal, I guess, is like where you can, as long as you're including it somewhere, it's going to connect the dots. I think that's the big thing for people, because what'll happen is they'll repeat it over and over and over again, thinking that that's going to help them. Right. And so I just think they're saying, yes, you know, keywords are important, and yes, just describe it as is. But I also don't think that it has to be, in order for you to rank, it has to be exactly the way it is, especially if you have some of the other ranking factors that are included, such as conversion rate, sales velocity, things like that.
So this next one here is from David, who's a software engineer on the SEO team at Etsy, probably has a at least a bit of an idea, right? Software engineers are typically the people who are writing some of the code.
I would listen to him, Chris. I personally, I would listen.
You know, maybe he has no idea what he's doing on a day-to-day basis. I highly doubt that, right?
Yeah.
He understands what he's writing the code for. And to do that, he has to understand how this works. So this one, Scott, stood out to me for that reason. And looking at this, again, we have focus on the three main areas. This one looks a lot more at what people consider to be Etsy SEO, right? This is much more keyword focused. So the first thing that we're looking at here is the title. And they're saying, look, I like that it's short and concise. The problem with that is we need to include more relevant information. And Scott, I think this is something you and I have talked about a lot recently, which is your title should be human readable, but it should also tell people exactly what it is. So if in looking at this, they don't really understand what it is, in this case, it's like a handmade plate, right? if they don't understand exactly what it is, they're probably not going to click on it and they're not going to buy it, even if you rank. And so they're saying, hey, if you can include more things beyond just how big it is and what it's made from, that's going to be useful for people. And we know the title is the thing that Etsy relies on the most, at least the first portion of that title.
Yep.
Number two, and this is the thing that stood out really big to me, and it is just a single sentence, but what he's saying is you did a great job describing the item in a way that both humans and computers can understand, right? And get valuable information from. Now, obviously, I don't know Mr. David over there as a software engineer on the Etsy SEO team, but he's mostly concerned, at least I would think, on how the computer side of this is understanding it, right? Everything that he does to improve the SEO algorithm is related to how the computer understands it. And yeah, what he's saying is, it's just as important that humans can understand it. And if we tie that back into number one, breaking that up, giving different sections, all of those kinds of things to make it human readable will also allow the computer to understand it better with context. If we just drop in giant blocks of text, can the computer parse all of that out? Can Etsy's AI, Etsy's SEO algorithm do that? Yes, but it's much better to write it in a human-friendly format because then we're sure the computer is getting everything that they need and also the human is getting everything that they need. And Scott, I wanted to lastly put to bed the rumor that tags are not important. Mm-hmm. If tags were not important, Etsy's SEO team would not have bothered to bring them up. What do we see here? Hey, I noticed you didn't put any tags on it, right?
Yeah.
Would they care if tags were not factored into the algorithm? No, this bullet point would have been skipped entirely. And we've noticed this, we've proved this to ourselves with Etsy ads. By adding in tags that are unrelevant, we see that as soon as we do that, we start to show up for random things, right? What do we see in terms of advice here? What they're saying is you can include a wide variety of keywords that don't fit otherwise into your listing, yep, or that you don't have in other places. Go ahead and do that. And then they give a few tags. Now we'll get a little bit deeper into tags and how and where we should use tags here in a little bit. But this one really stood out to me because they're basically saying, hey, you don't have any tags? Please fill out tags. They're not for people. They're just for the computer side of this. But please fill them out. It's going to help you get more eyeballs. Do you have anything else, Scott, that you wanted to share on that?
No, nothing to share other than I would like to know in the comments who here is using all of their tags in their listings. So let us know in the comments. I'm sure I'm curious if we could just get a little poll going here. And also, if you guys are getting value from this, do us a favor and smash that like button. So this way here, you can help us reach more people. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the YouTube channel and you want to see live streams like this every week and, well, a whole bunch of other cool stuff. We've got Etsy shop audits that come out every Thursday. And we've got videos that are coming out Mondays and Tuesdays and Fridays. So yeah, subscribe to the channel and please give us a little love. Hit the like button. All right. Yeah, Chris, let's move on. I think that's really, really cool.
So this one, Gabe, as an engineer on the SEO team, right? So another person writing code for the
algorithm. We should listen.
Right? Thanks for sharing your listing. Your earrings look exquisite. They apparently have a thesaurus as well. So props to Gabe for that wide vocab. But Scott, the word exquisite is not the reason this one really stood out to me. First, and I'm going to go kind of in reverse order here. If we look at the bottom of this, they said, for listing tags, I think you've done a great job. All your tags contain descriptive phrases about the style of earrings. We can expand on that by including tags related to material, size, and other occasions that aren't mentioned other places in the listings. And if you notice here, Scott, the takeaway I want people to have for this, and we'll see this come up again, is those are not single words. Those are longer tail phrases.
Yes.
Because most of those single words are already going to be contained somewhere in the listing. They probably say earlobe. They probably say earrings. They probably say silver somewhere else in the listing, but sterling silver earrings, small earlobe earrings, gift for girlfriend, gift for wife, those not might not be things that naturally make their way into the title or the description. And they're saying use the tags to fill in any of those additional things you want to be relevant for that make sense with the product, but don't make sense in the listing unless you're just trying to shove it in there for the computer. For the listing description, they're saying, hey, I like that you highlighted a bunch of different things. Can you add some more details about the fact that you're personalizing and what it is that you are personalizing about the product? The algorithm doesn't care about that as much because the algorithm only really cares that it's personalized, except for the fact that if somebody is searching a very long tail keyword about you know, custom earrings with custom, what's the hoops, right? Or whatever it is, whatever the attachment is, the name for the attachment that goes through your ear, hooks. I don't know. Somebody correct me in the comments. Right?
Chris, you don't wear earrings?
Do not have pierced ears. But whatever those words are, yes, somebody may type that in. But what we're really looking for here is to educate the buyer on all of the different ways that they can personalize this. If people weren't reading descriptions, and we proved that they are with the Etsy buyer survey, right? That is a big conversion factor. If they have any questions about what that product is after they've looked at the title and the images, the description is kind of that last chance that we have to give anybody an idea and answer those questions. And the more of those types of things we can answer for people, the higher our conversion rate goes. And Scott, the last thing I wanted to point out with this one, I know we're moving fast, guys. The last thing I wanted to point out with this one was they are talking again about adding in lifestyle shots, adding in finished product shots, and adding in a video. And Scott, the specific verbiage that's used here was kind of interesting to me. Take it to the next level by adding a video. Even if it's just a short clip of you applying the finishing touches to the earrings or showcasing the product being wrapped and prepared for its deserving recipient, that will resonate with buyers, right? So we're starting to sense a few themes as we're going through these, right? Videos are going to be more important, not because they are a direct ranking factor, although Etsy may give a little bit of a boost to listings that have videos because of the downstream effects, but the real usefulness of that is the click-through and the conversion rate, right?
100%.
Our descriptions need to make sense to computers and to human beings, and our tags are basically a dumping ground for anything else that doesn't make sense.
Hey, Chris, before you move on real quick, I just wanted to tell you the thing you were looking for. It's earring posts, I think was what you were looking
post.
For. Yeah, post.
I guess that makes sense. I always thought of post as like a stud, right? Yeah. If you have a stud earring, that would make sense. But I guess a hook is also a post, right? I don't know.
This is great. All right. Yeah. So you're going to,
so who knows?
Yeah. Who knows really? Let me move our position here. So this way here, they can see that better. There you go. All right, cool. So let's dig into this one. How many more of these do we have, Chris?
There's a handful, but we'll start to see some repeats, and then we're going to get into some of the other people. There was only four or five of these. And I think this is the last one off the top of my head that was an SEO specific person. And then there was one other one that I wanted to dive into.
Okay,
so
cool.
This one came from Laura, who is Scott, what is that job title at the top there?
Well, it says Etsy staff. What is her title,
The SEO manager.
Oh, the SEO manager. There it is. I couldn't read it, Chris. Yeah. It's too small.
You know, she's doing some SEO, and this may mean that she's running Etsy's algorithm, or it could mean that she's responsible for doing SEO for Etsy in Google and Bing, right? And if you look at some of these things, realistically, that's probably what her position is, but she's still going to have an understanding of how Etsy's algorithm works and how Google's algorithm works, right? So what she's saying here is a few different things. The first big thing that stood out to me here is just her contribution of saying, hey, maybe try including a few additional phrases that are longer tail, right? Try adding in something like DIY. Try adding something in like baby shower gift into that description. That may help buyers quickly understand what you are selling and will help improve visibility in search. So again, all of this advice is about both sides of the SEO equation. Will it help you rank more with the computer? Yes. Will it help you sell more? Yes, because it's more clear to the buyer what you are doing. Again, we see them shouting out lifestyle photos and saying, can you display it? And I love this line, in its natural environment, right? Like a nursery or a home, perhaps this will help buyers envision what it might look like in their own lives. Again, this is not an SEO keyword tip. This is a conversion rate tip. And because photos are really the only way where customers can experience the product online, this type of thing, if you're not doing this already, can be a huge conversion rate booster. Scott, the other thing that stood out to me from Laura's feedback here was this last thing where she's talking about filling out the about section and filling out the shop page. Now, Scott, this is another rumor that we hear all the time and people ask us all the time, should I fill this out? Etsy themselves is telling us you should fill this out, right? Yep. We've seen this pop up a few different times. That really stood out to me on this one here as well. So we're starting to see the themes really pop up here.
Hey, Chris, before you get into that, I'm just curious, anyone else that's watching this right now. So there's a lot to, it kind of seems like there's a lot to, when we're looking at the words, the tags, you know, the description, you might already have like the pool of keywords that you think you should go after. But there's probably keywords that you're not thinking of. And one way that we do this personally is we will then look at other people that are selling similar items. And then what we'll do is we'll look at their tags or we'll look at their description. But mainly, and we've done this in some of our Etsy shop audits, we actually did one about 2 weeks ago, which is here on the channel already, by the way. So if you want to go check that out, just look under the playlist. We'll link it up in the description later. But where we were looking at other Etsy listings that were similar to ours, and we discovered these other keywords that we weren't targeting, okay? And so that's an opportunity, and it sounds like they want us to do this, right? So we probably should, but the question it will be, and I know I'll get it, is like, well, how do you find these? How do you find these tags? We use the tool called Everbee. You probably already know that, and if you don't, you know now. That's the only tool we use. I know there's eRank. I've played around with eRank. I don't find a lot of use in it for what I'm doing, but if it helps you find tags and find listings that are performing well, and then you can see those, then yeah, that's fine. We personally use Everbee. If you want to try Everbee, I'm going to give a little shameless plug here. There it is right there, brandcreators.com/Everbee. And you get like 10 searches and you can use some of the features without going to the growth plan. I think you just go growth plan because you're going to be using it all the time for things like this. All right. And finding just a handful of additional keywords that you could potentially be now shown for is huge. And this even goes, it goes along with like your Etsy ads. We're not going to get into that. We did an episode all last weekend or last week on Etsy ads. And when we know that the tags are being used, like Chris said, with the machine learning, if you will, or them using their AI engine for their SEO to be able to pick up a listing that they should show for an ad or show for SEO, the tags are allowing you to signal, hey, I want to be shown for this. All right. So I would definitely recommend using Everbee. That's what we use. Again, little shameless plug. If you go through our link, you will get you will buy us a cup of coffee and you will get 10 free searches. So if you want to try it out, go check it out. So Chris, I just think it's really, really important that we understand that the keywords that you might not be looking at are right there under your nose if you go and look for them on a listing that's performing better than yours.
So there were two more, Scott, that I wanted to share, and we're getting a little bit outside of the SEO people directly, but these are all still people who have contribution to SEO. So we see Kristen Gold is a content strategy manager, but what is her focus? SEO and seller education. She's teaching sellers how to do SEO for Etsy. So there were a few things that stood out to me. First, she's saying the first few words, and this is something we've shouted over and over again, of your title are the most important. We know based off of their SEO checklist that shows up now in the back end for a lot of people that the first 60 characters are really what they're talking about there, are the most impactful for the algorithm. She gives a couple different examples in here. If you guys want to pause this video and kind of read the whole paragraph, you can do that. Basically, just reiterating that the first few words, those first 60 characters are the most important. The second thing, make sure in your description that you're describing the materials, the dimensions, and all of the features to the buyer that they need. This is not just for the algorithm. This is for the buyer. And this is a theme we see coming up again and again. If we go back to the last four slides, right? Basically, everybody is saying, make your description as readable as possible. That's the place to go answer the questions. But the next bullet point here, Scott, is the one that really stood out to me, where she says, the first few sentences of your listing description, in addition to the first few characters of the title, are really impactful for SEO. Try using some of the same keywords in a different way, right? So this travel map, right? So she is saying, reiterate, not something I'm a huge fan of, but it is something that's interesting because she's not saying copy and paste the title. And in fact, the next one is going to say specifically don't do that. But if you can think of a different way to phrase that and include similar keywords in that first few words of the description, that may give you a little bit of a boost as well.
But and Chris, Yeah. Let's just pause there for a second, because I think some people think that if you do use your keyword over more than once naturally, then that could hurt your listing and they're going to penalize you for that. What's your thoughts on that?
So I would say it's not going to help, and it's also not going to hurt you directly. Unless you're just typing in, what is the travel map with pin, travel map with pin, travel map with pin, right. You copy and paste that 8,000 times. Etsy goes, spam, block, right, hide, whatever. But for the most part, it's not going to hurt you, but it just doesn't help you to do that, right? Mm-hmm. There's no reason to just repeat the same words and phrases over and over again. And as we look through these, and if you read through the seller handbook, which is a several day proposition, I know I've done it. It's not fun. But basically what they say is if it appears anywhere, so if travel map shows up anywhere in your listing, title, keywords, description, then you index for that. You would never have to repeat it again. And being overly repetitive with it isn't necessarily going to be a helpful thing. And that's exactly what we see in this last one. Now, as the CTO for Etsy, so a C-suite person, they don't necessarily have direct knowledge of the day-to-day goings-on of the SEO algorithm, although my argument would be it's probably in their domain. They are going to have at least a basic understanding of how this works to be in that position, because they have to understand the technology that is driving the website, of which that would be the algorithm. And Scott, the very first thing that we see in their tips is that this person copied and pasted their title into the top of their description. And they're straight up saying, do not do that. Instead, write a sentence or two that casually incorporates a few of your top keywords. So basically, just rewrite it so that you're not using the same exact verbiage. Write it in a, what is that next sentence? A human readable way written in your brand's voice, right? So they're saying, just get the keywords in there. Don't shove them in there. Don't be repetitive. Write it in a way that a human being would do it, and the algorithm will take you from there. Why? Because the algorithm, and we get in trouble every time that we say this, keywords are not the most important thing. They are a thing. The most important thing to Etsy is whether or not when they show your listing to somebody, if they click on it and it turns into a sale. To qualify for that, that's where the keywords come in. But what Etsy moving forward is going to be more and more and more focused on is turning prospects into buyers, turning web page visits into transactions. And to do that, we have to write for humans. We have to design our listings for humans and not for the robots. And if we're designing them for humans, then we get all of the benefits of that without having it look like we just ChatGPT'd our way to Etsy success.
Yeah.
We also see here, Scott, that they're talking yet again about lifestyle photos, about products in the wild, right? All of those kinds of things and bringing those to life. The one thing that stood out to me here, and this is a little bit of a challenge for print-on-demand sellers, and it's something I've seen pop up a few different times, is that packaging shot, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have really cool custom packaging and you can include that, Etsy's a huge advocate of that because it really does indicate the handmade side of this. But if you can't, because you're a POD shop, that's okay too, as long as we're kind of getting all of the lifestyle in the wild type shots in there. Was there anything else, Scott, in this one that really
stood out? No, I just want to highlight once again, like you said, you want to write as if you're writing to a human, right? Don't just stuff stuff in there because, you know, you think you're going to get more. If I have it in there more times than the other listing, I'm going to get ranked higher, and that's just not going to happen. The other thing, it looks awful. The next thing I would like to highlight just to kind of cap this off here is the photography element again. Like, the photography is not going to help you rank. Now, there could be something in there, and I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe there is a small bit of weight that is like, if you added a video and you included all of your image slots, that might be like, oh, fully optimized, check mark. Like, I don't think it will 100% like give you a boost, but what it will do is it will give your sales a boost. And if those sales get a boost, that will impact your rankings. Okay. Because if you think about this logically, and we've said this before, and we're going to say it again and again and again, we are going to repeat this, that Etsy cares about really one thing from a seller. Yes, it wants you to take care of your customers and, you know, yes, all of that stuff too. But it's really about like, okay, I've got 100 listings here of pretty much the same type of product. Who's selling more? And who has a higher conversion rate? Oh, they do? Boom, bring them up to the top. I want more people to see them, right? That's it in the simplest form. So the photography is huge because the photography is going to sell the product. It does for me, it does for you. If you see that image, it's just like a crappy cutout on a white background. It just looks cheap. It doesn't even look professional. And then all of a sudden you see something else that's a really nice background, and it's maybe it's, you know, you're selling a, even if it's a coffee mug, and you see it in like this you know, wood table distressed because that's your style, because it's Western or something, right? It's like giving people the experience as if they were in your shop legit. Okay. So photography to me is just a big conversion booster, which will then also increase your sales, which will then also increase your ranking.
Yeah. And I think that's really the moral of the story with all of these, right?
It really is.
We have, there's a bunch more that we pulled out, but I think everybody kind of gets the point. We could read through all of these, but there were four main lessons that I pulled out of this, Scott, and I'm curious if I miss anything. So the first thing was, don't be overly keyword stuffy. Right? Whether that's in your title, tags, or descriptions. And actually, a few of the ones that we have that we didn't share literally say you don't need to duplicate, you don't need to do any of those things. I think you guys understand that at this point. But the titles and descriptions should focus on human readability and keyword inclusivity, right? And if you're questioning whether you should shove another keyword in there or err on the side of human readability, err on the side of human readability, because chances are the combination of keywords that you already have in your title, tags, and descriptions are going to compensate for you not squeezing it in that one extra place where you don't necessarily have to duplicate it. The second one was, make sure that you're using tags. And Scott, this isn't one of the screenshots that we shared, but they specifically say in one of the pieces of feedback that you shouldn't be using fathead keywords. So if we're selling bass fishing gear, we shouldn't be typing in fishing as a tag. We should be using bass fishing t-shirt for dad as a tag. Take advantage of the full 20 characters. Squeeze in some of those longer tail keywords that don't naturally fit into the rest of the listing. And the second half of that piece of advice we did see in some of the screenshots that we shared. Number three, almost all of these, if they talk about images or supporting media at all, talk about either improving video or adding video. And like we said a few minutes ago, if we're adding video, that's a good first step. And then we can come back and improve video. And if we can't get our hands on the video, or we can't get our hands on the physical product because we have 10,000 POD SKUs, that's okay too. A slideshow as a video is better than nothing, because we still get that click-through rate benefit and potentially the conversion rate benefit from that. It's just not as good or not as useful to the end buyer as a video showing exactly what the product is, right? Number four, and lastly, duplication of keywords or phrases is not needed, and in most cases should actually be avoided. And I know all the grammar Nazis out there are going to say, you don't need to say actually before that. Well, I do, because what they're saying is, don't waste your time, energy, effort, and most importantly, space by duplicating those keywords. There's a better way to do it. So if we have US travel map, we don't need to add travel map in there separately, map separately, US travel, right? We don't need to parse all of those things out. And if we go back and look at the way that they were suggesting to write titles, they're saying basically use the long tail version of that, and that'll capture 95% of the traffic that you are able to qualify for. And then any of those other things we're going to put into the description or the tags. Scott, did you have any additional piece of advice that you pulled out of those, or was there anything that I'm missing?
No. I don't want to overcomplicate this. I mean, this was great, because we listened to people that are working inside of Etsy. And some of these are on the SEO team, the engineering side. Like, to me, it's what we have talked about before, but now hearing it this way and seeing these examples of like, okay, they submitted these listings and this was the feedback that they gave them, I think is just reassuring. Okay. Now, the one thing that they didn't talk about is, again, what can sales do for your rankings? All they were talking about was like surface, like front. Okay. Like, we can optimize that stuff that we can control, but we also need to understand that if you optimize all that and you don't have this one thing, it's not going to matter. And that is anyone searching for your product? I know it seems obvious, but that's a piece that people are like, just, I'm going to optimize the crap out of this thing, and I am going to get this thing to rank because I know it's going to do good if I get it to rank and if people see it. Okay. But are there people actually searching? And if there are, how many? What's the realistic number? Again, another reason why I'm a huge fan of Everbee, because I want to look at competition. I want to see other people that have validated and verified that, yes, this product is going to sell. So it's worth me putting the time and effort into this thing. Okay. So that's a missing piece. I think it's one thing to kind of do these like listing reviews. That's fine. But we also could take it a step, you know, back and go, let's look and see if your product is even in demand. And if it is, okay, cool. Move on to optimization. Now the optimization side we got, okay, let's say that you've maxed everything out. Well, here's another problem that people do. They'll say, okay, I'm going to go ahead now and go and sign up to eRank, Everbee, any of the tools, and I'm going to find more keywords because that's the problem. I just need to find more keywords. And a lot of times that's not the problem. Problem is you've got it optimized. You've got it great. But now you got to get sales. And so that's the next piece in this. And that's why Etsy Ads plays a big role in this for us, because we're going to drive those sales, even though we might not make a full profit, or we might make a little bit of a profit, but not as much as we got organic, but that's going to help push our organic. All right. And that's the thing that I think needs to be really, really highlighted. That's why I'm making such a big deal of it, because you need to understand that there's more to just the SEO. Okay. There's more to just the SEO, but also to know this is that you're optimizing your SEO for organic search. You're also optimizing it for Etsy ads placement. Okay. And searches and being shown. Okay. And I don't know why I just did that three times, Chris. Maybe I like doing the quote thing. What was the Chris Farley one?
You don't have a lot of friends. You have some body odor. Right now we're gonna get an SNL copyright strike on this now. But Scott, I think your point there at the end makes a lot of sense. And these audits that Etsy did a great job of two things. First, the typical response when somebody's coming to YouTube to watch a video like this, they're like, I'm gonna SEO my listing to the moon, right? We're going to the moon. I'm gonna keyword the crap out of this listing. And right. That's going to get me out of this weird no sales box that this listing is in. And the answer is probably not. Why? Are keywords important? Yes. Are they the main thing? I would argue no. Are they 20%? Probably. But the other two things that are more important are going to be that overall demand, like you were talking about, and then how people react when your listing shows up. And if we look at the advice that they were giving, the vast majority of the advice that the SEO team at Etsy was giving was make it human readable, right? Why would that be? The computer doesn't care, right? The computer doesn't care. The keyword is there. Why would that matter? Well, let's look at the other advice. Add in some videos. Why would that be? Add in more photos. Why would that? The computer has no idea what's in those images, right? Is it getting better? Is it getting closer? Yes. Does it understand the context as we sit here today for every one of those images? No. So why would they be saying improve your images? Improve your descriptions, put them in a human readable format. Don't just copy and paste a bunch of text in there. Why would they be saying that? Because that influences conversions. That influences how many people buy once they get to your listing. And that is the thing on the back end that most people miss. They focus right on the middle, Scott. They skip over demand. They go, I'm going to put the keywords in and that's all that I need to do. And from a technical SEO perspective, yeah, you're right. That is, if the keyword's there, you have just as much of a chance to show up as I do, all else being equal. But if you're not focused on the front end of this, meaning there's actually people looking for the product, and then the back end of this, making sure that when people find your product, that you answer all of their questions that they have about the product, then you're missing out on the most important portions of what will drive rankings today and in 2025, 2026, and far into the future. Etsy's goal, and they've told us this over and over and over again, is to turn as many one-time customers into repeat customers and as many repeat customers into those six or more purchases, $200 more a year type of people as possible. How do they do that? By making sure that sellers are focused on the things that drive conversion rate. And so the more human-friendly we can make the listing, the more we will see people converting on that listing. And if we're not seeing that, we're seeing low conversion rates, then we have to come back and address some of those things.
Yeah, no, I love it. All right, cool. Basically it depends. And if you guys are longtime like subscribers here. You get the, it depends. That's Chris's big saying. All right, cool. Chris, let's move on. We've got some more things to cover here before we do. We got questions that came in too. I want to also say, anyone that's a Backstage Pass club member and has submitted a question, we will do our best to answer those before we end today's live stream. And also, I should let everyone else know, tomorrow, which is Thursday, and if you're watching this later, you can still go and check out what I'm about to share with you. We're doing another round of our private Etsy shop audits. What we do here is we record 3 Etsy shop audits all in one batch, so about 2.5 to 3 hours. And then those will get aired later on the channel, but we have our Backstage Pass Club members that sit in on these batch recordings. They get access to these early and they get to answer or ask any questions. If you would like to be part of that, you can head on over to brandcreators.com/club and you can join us. And if you, if you're here on YouTube, you can just click right along the subscribe button. You can click join. And you can do that as well. And if you just go to brandcreators.com/join or brandcreators.com/club, you'll go ahead and find the link there to join us under $10. And you get access to these early and you get to ask questions and they're a lot of fun. All right. So with that being said, Chris, let's dig into the next topic. And Chris, if you'll get that Etsy crackdown on the coupon abuse article, if you can get that ready, that would be awesome because that's what we're going to dive into. So recently, Etsy has cracked down on coupon. Wait a minute here, Chris. Did I lose you? Oh, I'm still there. Okay, cool. All right. Let's go back. Sorry, guys. I've had a little bit of a glitch there. All right, cool. So recently, Etsy had a crackdown on some coupon abuse, and an article came out about it, and I want to dig into it because I think it's an interesting thing that's happening and also what Etsy is doing about it. So Chris, if you can pull that article up, and we can go ahead and dig in and see exactly what is going on here, that would be great. So it looks like here it is. So why don't you kind of run us through like what's going on here and what is Etsy talking about?
Yeah. So Scott, one of the complaints that we've gotten for the longest time from sellers, or concerns, I guess, as it comes to the way that they've handled what we refer to as the internal marketing triggers, right? Yep. The thank you coupons and the abandoned cart coupons, is that buyers can take advantage of these things, right? Oh my God, somebody's going to use my 5% off discount or my 10% off discount. And that code never changes. That code never expires. So it's the end of the world that I'm getting more sales, even though I'm still making money, right? Obviously, I'm exaggerating that just to make a point, because we don't really think that that was a huge problem to begin with. But what Etsy has announced, and we've talked about this a little bit, and they still haven't given us an official launch date for this, but it should be rolling out within the next few weeks based on what they've said, is that they're making changes to help their active sellers remove that as a concern, right? So they're, instead of sending out one coupon code to everybody, save 10% or Scott20, right? Whatever you set that coupon code up to be, they're going to start sending individual and expirable codes for these things. And basically what they're saying is, you know, there's two different types of codes on Etsy. The first they're referring to as coupons, which are funded by Etsy and they're only sent to certain buyers. The other ones are shop coupons, which are set up by individual sellers. And that's really what we talk about most when we talk about coupons or promo codes on Etsy, are those shop coupons, right? The things that you can't stack a bunch of them together, but people are still concerned that it is something people could take advantage of, especially if they give a heck of an abandoned cart discount at 30% or whatever it is.
Right.
If that coupon doesn't expire, then somebody can take advantage of that. And so what Etsy is saying is, look, we're going to give you more tools and more capability to really be able to control this as a seller. And they're still going to be doing the Etsy coupons. They're making some changes there as well. But Scott, before I dive into kind of a little bit more of this, what are your thoughts on getting rid of the one size fits all coupons and moving to more of a expirable or individual coupon style?
Well, yeah, it's interesting that it's coming across as they're doing it because there was like misuse of the coupons. I look at it as this should have been done years ago, not for the misuse, Because let's face it, Chris, you and I have talked about it. Do we care if someone reuses one of our coupons? Like, we don't care, right? And my thing is, when they announced this, I personally took it as like, wow, Etsy's getting a little more sophisticated with their, you know, with their coupons. They're putting, or they're giving us the option to basically make these expire, which I think is brilliant, because from a marketing side of it, it's going to make people want to use them faster, which is going to increase sales. So I didn't look at it as like, oh, Etsy's going to crack down on coupons being misused, right? I'm like, I didn't really look at it that way. But I look at it the other way and I'm like, oh, that's a smart thing to do, not just for the misuse. Now I get it, right? You're going to have where people are like, well, I didn't want them to use the coupon 6 months from now. And it's like, oh, sorry, they found it and they used it in an old email or something. I think it's a great thing, not for the misuse, but for the marketing side of it, that I think it's going to drive more sales.
And so the question that I have here is there anybody in our comments here that thinks this will not drive more sales? Because one of the things, Scott, that really stood out to me is Modern Retail went out and they got some comments from different people. They say, while these promotions might help build sales, right, they're not designed to be used in perpetuity. Sellers found that customers are misusing coupons by passing them on to people or applying them to more than one order. And the example that they give a little bit further down in the article, Scott, is they're like, yeah, they might show up on coupon sites, which for anybody who's been around in the e-commerce world, you know that right. That's kind of the bane of your existence, right? Yeah. You put together a screaming deal and you forget to put an expire code on it and then Retail Me Not, all of a sudden you're like losing 40% on every order on your website. You're like, I don't know what's going on here. So first things first, general advice for creating coupons is you should never create a coupon where you're going to lose your shirt.
Exactly.
Like, make it break even at worst, and then you don't have to worry about it. If you want to do something super special, super specific, then look at something that's expirable and maybe don't put that in your abandoned cart offers, even after they offer this more individualized and expirable type of a thing. But just keep that in mind, because everybody's like, oh yeah, you know, Scott, you say you run a sale and a discount, so I'm going to mark my stuff down 80%. And then you make too many sales and you're like, oh my God, I just blew $5,000, right? Like, we have to keep our margins into consideration here. The other thing, Scott, that popped up here, and I wanted to get your feedback on this because we addressed this a little bit, was somebody responded and said, hey, you know, I see people using it on every single order. And that to me means they're abusing it. And it makes me want to get rid of this altogether. So for people who have that reaction, because that's not the react, we would love people to buy our stuff because our coupons are created that way. Is there any validity to that? Or like, what are your thoughts on whether or not that is an abuse of the coupon? And is it something that you're okay with? I know generally you're okay with people using it over and over again, but if you saw a buyer using it on every single order and they ordered from us once a week, would that start to bother you?
Yes, it would. It would, because then the coupon didn't really, I didn't follow through on what I was saying, right? Like, a coupon should not, like, there's no store that's giving you a coupon that lasts forever, right? And if someone did it once or twice, you're like, oh, okay, they're a repeat customer, whatever. But then I'd be like, okay, I mean, they know I'm a small business. They probably, you know, shouldn't do that, right? Like, I'd be thinking that. But I think this helps us, right? This eliminates that problem, because you're going to be able to now put an expiration date on it. Brilliant, right? Like, problem solved, Etsy. Thank you so much. And you're going to help us increase our sales, because that's what's going to happen. And it's funny, because we just had someone in the comments who's worked in sales for a long time, big box, and says, it will drive more sales. I come from big box retail background. It works like magic. Of course it does. Look at Black Friday, right? Look at Cyber Monday. Like, that's all, they're coupons in a sense, right? And goes on to say, this is brilliant, but this needs to work like this. One, coupon has an expiration date. Two, Etsy needs to send notifications about coupon expiring soon. Yes. And I'm with you on that. Are they going to do it? I'm not going to hold my breath, because I think Etsy's a little bit behind on their marketing stuff, but I think that should be like the bare minimum. I think what they should do, if they hired me as the chief marketing guy, I would tell them that they should send out 3 emails. One when they get it, second one reminding them that it's almost going to expire, and then the last one, hey, just a reminder, it's going to expire tonight. And I bet you the sales will go through the roof.
Now, Okay. So theoretically, Scott, putting an expiration date on this will solve that abuse issue.
Yep.
But if one of the triggers is an abandoned cart and somebody really wants to use their coupon, unless Etsy changes the way that they do abandoned carts, all I have to do is go in, add the product to my cart, leave, wait for you to send me the new individualized coupon and come back. Right. So we don't know how they're going to handle that. And it doesn't necessarily solve the abuse side of this, right? The abuse concern. The real way to solve that is by expiring them so that somebody can't use them and setting those percentages at a place where you're encouraging them to purchase, but not losing your shirt.
Yep.
Right. And that is still the thing. Like, even if they make all the changes that we want to see, they give us 100% control over this. If somebody's really determined to do it, they're always going to do it. So we need to keep that in mind as sellers and just set ourselves up for success.
Yep.
But I think the most important thing here is that deadline. We need to be looking at that not as a reason that people are going to be abusing it less. That deadline is really to encourage sales. And we see a few of the Etsy sellers that responded to this were actually able to channel that, whether they did it from that perspective or from a different perspective. And one of the ones that stood out to me was Carissa Hawk said, putting an expiration date on coupon could actually help increase sales, right? Mm-hmm. I think people forget about them because they never end, right? Well, yeah, because all Etsy does at this point is send out one thing that's like, hey, you got a coupon code, or there's a, what's the push notification say? Something to the effect of there's a discount on something in your cart, right? It says something like that when you go into the app. And after you clear that out, unless somebody goes in and changes their internal marketing offers every 60 days, you don't get another notification about it. You don't know that it's there. And so if you don't act on it right away, then you lose out on that benefit. The expiration of this adds that urgency. And we always use the Kohl's Cash example. For those of you guys who are non-US people, right? Kohl's is a big department store. They sell a lot of clothes. They have a customer loyalty program called Kohl's Cash, right? And the standard joke of everybody who has a spouse or significant other who loves shopping at Kohl's is they always come home and they don't think about how much they spent. They think about how much they saved, right? That was always my mom's line. Oh, I didn't spend $300. I saved $900.
Right.
No, you spent $300. They also gave you a discount of $900 off of their randomly priced things, right? But in addition to that, they give you a little gift certificate for store credit, right? That they call Kohl's Cash. And that has an expiration date on it. Guess what happens every time one of those expires? My mom goes back to Kohl's, right? And she buys something to make sure that guess what she gets at the checkout? Another Kohl's Cash certificate that's going to expire in a month or 2 months. Yep. And she keeps them in her wallet and she goes, you know, she goes grocery shopping, whatever. She goes, oh, that's going to expire. She pops over to Kohl's instead of going anywhere else to buy the clothes or some of the home goods stuff that they sell. And so that expiration date really is the key to this. And I think people are more focused, even the Modern Retail article, almost this entire article is focused on the coupon abuse and not on the real seller benefit, which is not, we have a few people who are bad actors. Those people are still going to figure out a way to do this.
Sure.
Right. But the real seller benefit here, at least in my opinion, is that increase in urgency as long as Etsy is following up on the back end to say, hey, it's expiring, right? They're hammering that expiration date. If they don't do that, then it doesn't really help either of these issues, at least in my mind.
Yep. No, I love it. Yeah. So again, this is, it's played as, you know, it's misuse. It's, it's hurting the Etsy seller, which some could look at it that way. But regardless, this is a good thing. This is a great thing, not just for the misuse thing. I think, yeah, that fixes that problem, but it also, it creates a great opportunity for us Etsy sellers. And who knows where this will go or what kind of other features will be built into it as far as, can we make it limited to one person by their IP address? Like, we don't know that stuff yet. But right now, the beginning of this, I'm excited about it because I do think it is going to help us increase our sales. People that are customers are going to get this coupon that you get to set up and it will expire. So you get that. The second thing is you get the add to cart. Someone adds it to their cart. You have that where it's going to have an expiration date on it. And the third thing is when someone favorites an item, they're going to get a coupon that will encourage them to buy. So you have three different ways that this is going to be used. Really excited about it. And I'm curious. Come on back after this thing rolls out and let us know in the comments how it worked for you. So with that being said, Chris, Let's dig into one more topic. I don't know if we'll have time to do both of the ones we have queued up. We might. And I know we've got some questions that are coming in as well. So the next one, Chris, I think we're going to hit is the gift mode. Is that correct?
Yeah. One point of clarification before we jump into that. DollClick in the chat said you can already put a start and end date in the settings only for Etsy promos, right? Yes. So if you set up a sale or a promotional discount on Etsy, you can do that currently. You can't do that on what they call their automatic offers. So your thank you offer, your abandoned cart, and your favorited items. That's what they are talking about rolling out this additional feature for. So if you see that, don't, like, if you already have that in your backend, send me a screenshot, show us what it looks like, because we want to know what the options are. Supposedly, they are rolling that out this month. That's as specific as they've got, right? Which is fairly typical for a platform like Etsy. And Scott, with that, I have the gift mode article up here on my side.
Cool. Let's get to that one then, guys. All right. Let's see here. So, all right. Etsy rolled out gift mode. And we've got a little bit of an update from Etsy as far as how has it went so far since they rolled it out. And I believe that they gave us a 2 week or a span of 2 weeks as far as what it's done. So Chris, if you could pull that up for us and we can take a look and see what kind of data do we have? Like, what are the results so far? And it looks pretty good to me right here. So let's take a look. Let's dig in.
So, but before we get into this, Scott, you know, the article here gives us a little bit of an insight, but I know the complaint when they first announced gift mode was that they were doing this, you know, they were rolling this out. It wasn't going to be useful for anybody. And they blew, what was it? $7 million, $9 million on a Super Bowl commercial that wasn't going to have any impact on anything because only men watch the Super Bowl and yada, 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 right? We heard every excuse in the book as to why this won't work. And this doesn't necessarily tell us that it's going to work long-term, but let's just, Scott, let's use that 9 million number, right? They spent $9 million on that Super Bowl ad. It's the biggest push that they've done for that. If that's what resulted in these 6 million visits, that's pretty good ROI in terms of a cost per visit, right? The question that I would have on the back end of this is how many of those turned into sales? And we can do some rough math based on what we know, but there's not really a huge reason to do that. The real win here is that in the first 2 weeks after they launched, and I love that they keep saying AI powered because it's a buzzword and it's utterly meaningless in this context. Gift mode sees 6 million visits in the first 2 weeks. So they're saying nearly, you know, I don't know if that's 5.99 million you know, it's like 5.6, who knows, but it's well over 5 million visits and uses of gift mode in the first 2 weeks. And we know based on their Q4 report that we covered and we broke up into some different sections, they are going hard after the gift market and they have a very tiny fraction of it right now. Their entire goal is to become the go-to place on the internet for gift giving. Do you think based on this number that they are off to a good start? Is there something that they can do to improve this? Or is there another metric that you would like to see that makes you feel like they're making a positive step in this direction?
No, I mean, that's pretty impressive. You know, I mean, again, we have to look at the Super Bowl. How many people tuned into the Super Bowl? Was this from the Super Bowl ad? Was it from, I mean, they have aired it since the Super Bowl. I've seen it myself. And is it just from that? Or is it now because it's being, you know, posted on certain, you know, news sites that are announcing it? I know that I believe the CEO went on a couple of shows and he talked about it. So regardless, 6 million visits. Okay, in first 2 weeks, I think that's a pretty good start. I think it's a good start. And I think it's an opportunity. And if you go to the website and you look at the homepage now, you can see they are making that really eye-catching, but also almost like you're plugging in. And I know, Chris, you and I both have been in the marketing world for years. When you get people to start clicking, even if it's just to go next, guess what that does? It gets you to click the buy button too, or the add to cart button, right? You're getting in that thing. So there's a little psychology that's going into that as well for them to say, like, who are you buying for? Boyfriend. What's the special occasion? You know, anniversary, you know, how old is he? Between 30 and 45? Click. Yes. Right. Boom, boom, boom. So you're basically building a profile for them to go find the perfect gift. But you're also in that mode of clicking, right? So that's just something that I thought I would throw out there that I find interesting, is that it's a great thing for them to harness and become, like, they're going to be the king of that, right? Or at least try to be, of the gift giving. So my advice to anyone right now, because this is traffic for everyone, not just for like one category or whatever, it's for everyone. There's a lot of different things that we can use this for. And I'm looking at it as a seller, is like, if my item is a gift or could be given as a gift, you bet your bottom dollar that I'm going to be putting gift somewhere in my listing. So it gets picked up to be then put into this gift giving mode, little AI generation thing, you know, like, so that's how I see it, Chris. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah. And I think people are freaking out because it's a different way of approaching this, right? And Etsy's real goal here, based on what you and I have seen so far, Scott, like we said, is to turn more people into buyers, more visits into purchases, more purchases into repeat purchases.
Yeah.
How are they doing that? What is the secret to the AI powered gift mode? It's a filter, right? It's helping them skip that first step of what I would argue is not a great search experience on Etsy. It is kind of hard to find exactly what you're looking for, unless somebody has a really well-crafted listing and has been selling for a while, right? It's very easy to miss a lot of the things. And all this really is, all this gift mode thing is a filter over top of the search results. And kind of once you get to the end of that click tree that you were talking about, where it's like, hey, do they like this or this, right? It takes them to a custom filtered search results page. That's what they're doing, right? They're just eliminating the annoyance of going through the search results, going, that's not exactly what I wanted. I wanted more like this. I wanted more like that. They're just layering in those filters through a really nice user interface. And what the CEO said was, you know, it's not just an important product launch. It's a big difference from our normal approach, right? Where they say, hey, we do a lot of things incrementally. We figured we'd make a big swing. And it's part of that. And they get to the real reason at the end. And we talked about this. Yes, they have, you know, 200 different buyer personas. And they talk about, you know, crossword genius to the sandwich specialist. Cool. That's not necessarily relevant to sellers, because what they're worried about is showing up at the end of that. How do they come in? And what does this mean? But the real reason that Etsy is doing this is because they think they can become the go-to place online for gifting. And they said right now, Etsy US buyers spend about 2% of their $1,600 a year that they spend on gifts on Etsy. So it's only $38 a year. Well, if Etsy can double that to $70, $80, even $100, if they can increase it, then they increase their volume by 2 or 3x just by getting a little bit more of that gift giving market. So even if it's not a grand slam for them, if it's a dribble up the middle and they make it to first base here and they can only double, right? They go to $72 or $78 or $90. It's a huge increase in terms of the overall volume on Etsy. So Scott, with that mindset in mind, is this something that generally makes sense? And is it going to be useful for sellers, in your opinion, moving forward?
Yeah, I do. And I think, I mean, there's nothing really you're going to do differently other than if you have an item that can turn into a gift or be given as a gift, then make sure that you optimize for that gift. Right? Personalization, I think, is going to be a big one. Gift in it somewhere, gift for garden lover, right? Garden lover gift, like those types of things. And then also strategically thinking about products you could create in your niche that could be given as a gift, I think. So that's what I'm taking away from this. This is what I think you should take away from it. But again, this is just our thoughts and our opinions, but I'm really excited about this. And I think it's off to a really good start with this gift mode. So I would take advantage of it. Chris, before we move on, there is a little banner now that is showing, and we might have some breaking news that we have the actual number, and I'm not as excited as I was before we started.
So, you know, it's funny. I went on that whole rant about how it's not in my back end because I had just looked at it. I hit refresh. Now it's there.
It's there.
So, you know, we Beetlejuiced it into existence, apparently, just by saying it's not there, it's not there, it's not there. It pops up. So what does it say on your side?
Okay, well, the banner is gone now. But what it did say is that you were going to have 60 days on add to carts and on the favorites. And that's by default. And then 1 year on a customer, on a thank you. So that doesn't excite me as much. Now, Is that just like first whack at it? Like that's what's going to happen right now. And then eventually we're going to have some control. I don't know. But from what it looks like to me, that doesn't look to me as though we're going to be able to be able to do anything with that. And I don't love that.
And again, we'll probably have to wait and see, but that language to me implies that that will come, because otherwise it would just say 60 days on abandoned carts, one year on thank you. What it does say, at least on my side, is as a default, right? Yep. So that language to me indicates some level of personalization. So Scott, if you go into your abandoned carts or your thank you offer, has that interface changed, or are they just announcing a few more details?
That's it. Yeah. No, there's no more that I have here. And I'm actually refreshing it just to kind of see. No. The only thing that they are that they're promoting on my end is help move your inventory with make an offer, so they can have people where they can make an offer. So you're able to choose specific listings, set a discount limit, and have the final say on the price. I don't love that, to be honest with you. That's kind of like you're at a garage sale. We're not doing that. But no, I don't see anything else, and it's actually disappeared. For me, that when I go into my dashboard, it doesn't pop up because I hit, you know, show more or whatever.
Of course not, because that would be entirely too useful.
Yeah,
I'm digging through the forums really fast just to see if they've posted something in there yet. And I don't see anything other than their announcement of it, at least at this point. But if something pops up, then we'll let you know.
I disabled and restarted a coupon too. No change to the interface. It's all automatic. So yeah. So, okay, cool. And yeah, white, gold, yellow says they need to hire you guys. Yeah, they probably do. They probably do.
if we're talking about improving conversion rates, some of those kinds of things, you know, there's a lot of fundamental stuff that Etsy is missing out on. Although Scott, I will argue they are getting a lot better about these things. And I think I made this argument a few weeks ago. They're taking kind of the buyer first approach, where they're fixing the front end before they fix the back end. And the reason for that is that's kind of the more important side of this equation. It's really much more difficult to make sellers happy than it is to make buyers happy. And the more things they roll out for sellers, the harder it becomes to manage. And we saw this with Amazon, right? You know, Brad Moss, who's the former head of Seller Central over at Amazon, like, just the disaster stories that they have about trying to integrate all of the features. I don't wish that on anybody, but if they can make the buyer experience on the front end better, then that will lead to more sales, that will lead to happier sellers, and then they can bring in some of the features on the back end that make more sense for us.
Yep.
Not saying I'm 100% happy with it, but seeing them make even small steps on the seller help side of things makes me a very happy camper.
All right, Chris, why don't we do this? Why don't we answer some questions that came in? We hit pretty much the topics that we wanted to. Let's go ahead and address some questions here. And by the way, guys, if you see a little badge next to some commenters' names, it just means that they're part of our Backstage Pass Club, and we do put their questions first. If you want to be part of the Backstage Pass Club, which, by the way, we're going to be doing another Etsy shop audit session tomorrow, where we batch record three, usually takes about 2.5 to 3 hours. Those are pre-recorded before they air on the channel, which can be weeks or months from now. But if you'd like to be part of that, head on over to brandcreators.com/club. We are going to be doing that tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern, noon. And that is, that's Eastern time, as I said. And we're going to be starting. We've got three Etsy shop audits that we're going to be doing. And someone did have a question on that, Chris, as far as if they sign up to be a member, will they be able to get their shop audited? And the answer is potentially. We have a pretty long list. It's a generic list of like everyone that has submitted so far, but we have probably, I would say, a third of that is our members. So there is a little bit of a list there. But that doesn't mean that we won't get to it. So if you are interested in joining us, brandcreators.com/club, very affordable. It's under $10. So you can go ahead and join there, and you can also ask any questions there and we will answer them. All right. So that's a private session, and that's happening tomorrow, at least the time that we're doing this live stream. If you're here later and you want to go to brandcreators.com/club, there'll probably be one coming, because we're doing them about every 3 weeks. All right, let's dig in. Let's do a little rapid fire here. Let's see here. See some struggles with SEO. My struggle with SEO is that I sell a turquoise and silver jewelry. And when I do SEO, so many of the tags and keywords are really similar. I'm having a hard time finding ones that differentiate pieces. So again, what I would, my first step here would be I'd go and look at someone else selling similar jewelry. And then I would see if there's something that I was missing there. Okay. Any other terms that are being searched for that's very similar. And it's funny that, that you're selling jewelry, not that it's funny, but we did an Etsy shop audit about 2 or 3 episodes ago. It's on the channel. If you go to our YouTube channel, and you can search for, or just go under the playlist, we'll drop the audits in the description later. But if you go to the YouTube channel and you go to the playlist and you'll go to Etsy shop audits, there's one in there that we did for a lady that sells jewelry. And we found a lot of other keywords that could be related to the jewelry. So that might be helpful to you. So I would just say, try to look at the obvious as far as like what others have done, and then just comb through and see if there's something else there that can describe it better.
Yeah. And you are going to have some overlap, and that's okay, right? Where you're going to differentiate is in the use. So your earrings are going to be slightly different than your necklaces, which are going to be slightly different than your bracelets and your anklets or whatever. And Paula, my question to you would be, is post the correct, since you are a jewelry person, is post the correct terminology for the part of the earring that goes in your ear? Just the call back to the beginning. How long does SEO take to sync with the Etsy algorithm?
Yep. It depends.
It depends, right? Typically it's going to be at the very least a few days, but if you make big changes, it can be weeks or months, depending on the volume of search and the volume of traffic and how big that change is. And that's why we don't like to be dependent on the organic side of this. We like to drive traffic with ads so that we understand which keywords are driving traffic to the listing and focus on optimizing around those, because then we have an idea of volume, we have an idea of conversion rate, we have an idea of all of the metrics that actually matter.
Should we hold on, Chris. Slow down. I want to go in the order that I have it on this end. So we got...
Okay, that's weird because it's in the other order. Yeah. That's fine.
What do you think about creating a photo that includes small snapshots of the item in each color so the customer can see what each color would look like? I like it. Yeah, yeah. I think that's a great idea and a great use of the images.
Scott, would you do that as your main image?
No. I wouldn't do that because I think it's going to be so small that on the thumbnail that you won't really see what it is. I think that main one has to be like, and you might test this over time and see, you know, how, you know, what colors sell better, you know, like, or what design sells better, or the different photos, but more of a lifestyle might sell better. So I think I would play there. Any thoughts with personalized design and you have multiple versions of a word like grandma, nanny, Mimi, etc.? Are you really better to list all of these as individual listings or just one? No, I mean, it's all the same person. It's just being represented. This is where your tags would come into play. You can do that in your title as well. You know, you can say, you know, personalized grandma, or, you know, hot grandma, you know, or something, right? Like, I know I'm going there, but there's a mug out there that says that. Or, you know, the next one could be like personalized coffee mug for nanny. You know, like you can put that in there. I just wouldn't repeat like personalized thing for nanny, personalized thing for Mimi. I wouldn't do that. I would add those in the tags or add them in the description.
And I think the personalization here is the way to address this. Because there's Meemaw, right? There's like 100 different things. Scott, are you a peepaw? What are your?
I'm a pop. I'm a pop pop.
A pop. Ooh, a double pop.
Pop pop. Get it right.
Pop.
It's not poppy. It's not pappy.
Pop.
It's pop pop.
So you are popcorn. That's what you're saying. You know, yeah. You pop a couple times.
I just got a lot of energy.
Right, and so you have all these different variations. Rather than trying to squeeze each and every single one of them into your title and description, which is going to be hot garbage from a human readability standpoint, you put that in the personalization section, and then you can even give them a few different examples, right? Like, let us know what your grandkids call you or whatever it is, or what right. they call their grandpa, meemaw, peepaw, nanny, grandma, right? In like parentheses in the personalization section. And then they can fill in whatever that value is. Trying to get into all of the long tail of that is just going to be a nightmare.
Sue wants to know, can we talk about ChatGPT? You need to let us know what you'd like us to talk about. But I think what you're probably talking about is like, how can you use it to build out your listing? And I would use this sparingly. And the reason why I'm saying that is like, I wouldn't have it create my titles. I would have it more or less help me write a description, right? And so, but you still have to plug in what you want. Like if you wanted to put in there nanny and Mimi and pop pop and all of these other terms, you're gonna put that in as your prompt inside of ChatGPT, telling it all of the information. Like you're just throwing it all in a hopper, and then it's gonna spit out like the nice like writing, hopefully. And then what you're gonna do is you're gonna go through and you're gonna clean it up to your voice, to what, you know. So that's how we would be using ChatGPT if we were using it for descriptions.
I think one other potential way to do that would be to take a non-human readable description and ask it to write it in a human readable way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I want to try to include as many of these keywords as makes sense, but I want it to be written in a human readable way. Meemaw, peepaw, mammy, right? Like all of the different things, and then see what it comes back with. ChatGPT is really good at summarizing things and rewriting things if you give it a starting place. So if you have some listings that you're trying to optimize based on the four main tips we were talking about at the beginning,
yeah,
that would be a great way to do it. Copy in your title, copy in your description, even your tags potentially, and just say, hey, what are some long form keywords that I could make out of these tags to get better use out of that space? It's great for ideas.
Well, yeah. And I was going to say, it's great for ideas. And guys, let us know in the comments, would you like us to do a session here on the channel where we kind of have like maybe three different listing topics, whatever, and kind of go through and build something with ChatGPT, yeah, that's what I said. Whatever. ChatGPT. I'm like, wait a minute, that didn't sound right. But would you like us to do that? If you would, let us know in the comments and maybe we'll make that happen. We'll do like a live training call where we'll do that here on the channel, because I know some people are really interested in using ChatGPT. Where are we here, Chris? The next one is Mike, I think. Lifestyle videos, images, recommended ordering a sample of each listing. Some provider mockups just too static. Yeah, I mean, Your best chance of having it be original and being yours is to order the product and getting it in hand. It's not feasible for a lot of people, or it's expensive, right? It's going to, you know, cost some money to do that, and you might not want to do that. My recommendation would be like, take the image that's already there in the, you know, Printify catalog, and then if you can cut out the image and then put it in your own stuff, that would be fine as well.
Doing like a background crop.
Yeah. Just do something like that. Or, you know, if it was a product that was like one of your top sellers, or you wanted it to be one of your top sellers, you wanted to go all out, you could even probably send that off to a photographer and hire them to take, you know, do a photo shoot. You'd probably find someone on Fiverr, something like that. So that's what I would say there. Let's see here. Mistress 30 here. Is this going to be in any of your trainings? I'm not quite sure. I mean, the SEO stuff we do go through pretty deep into the 1-2-3 pod fast track. We go through exactly what we do and what we're going to continue to do. That has not changed. The things that we talked about here today are pretty much just reassuring us that we're doing the right things. But we do give you a full rundown on checklist of all the items to optimize. And then secondly, Chris walks through and builds a listing using the optimization stuff. And if you guys are interested in that, that is one of our paid trainings. It's the 1-2-3 pod fast track. But if you're interested in that, Chris, what should we send them to? Do we have that ready? Yeah, there you go. Brandcreators.com/123. And that'll take you to there, and you can see the information. Let's see. Fatty Pancake question: on listings that sell, would you take tag heavy titles and update them to be more human title friendly, or leave them alone? I'm in a meeting, so I might have missed this if it's been answered. Okay. Chris, if you have a listing that is already selling well, but you're like, the title kind of looks a little janky. You know, it's kind of repetitive, but I know I want it to look better, but it's selling. Are you going to change that title? Are you going to mess with it? It depends.
If it's selling, probably not. And the reason for that is, and we'd have to look at both the beta search report in the marketing tab and our ads data to see where that traffic is coming from and how it's converting. But, you know, flip a coin, yes or no, I would say no, don't change it if it's selling. If it's not currently selling well, or you're getting a sale and it's not converting the way that you want it to, or it's just not getting the traffic, right? You go through that analysis that we've done a few different times. You say, my issue here is volume, not conversion rate. And you want to boost the sales for that product, then I would potentially rewrite it. If it's selling at a rate and at a conversion rate that you are comfortable with, then you don't need to change it, right? If you want to see more sales from that and you think rewriting the title will get you those, then go ahead and rewrite. I know it sounds, Scott, kind of like a cop-out, but that's the real answer. If it's not selling the way that you want it, change it, make it more human-friendly. That's the default. And if you're creating new titles, make them human-friendly. You don't really want to mess with things that are working. So yeah. I would tend to err on the side of leaving it alone, unless the keyword data that I'm seeing from the search report and from the ads are saying that keyword's not even in the title right now, or, you know, wherever that those sales are actually coming from isn't something that we're addressing, then I would go in and rewrite it. But the default would be leave it alone.
I think I would also want to know this answer. Are we talking about the product is selling primarily through organic, or is it selling through Etsy ads? If it's selling through Etsy ads and you're leaving all of the stuff, like the title's just changing, but it's still all of those components are there, then I wouldn't have a problem. I would need to see, is the traffic coming from organic? Is it coming from paid? If it's coming from paid, I'd be less concerned, unless I'm pulling stuff out of there and I'm not replacing it, right? I personally don't think that the Etsy ads algorithm is affected as much as it would be on the organic side. Again, that's just my opinion. That's my thoughts. Be careful if you have a product that's selling well. My other question would be like, what is selling well to you? One a day? You know, but maybe if you make these changes, you could get it to 10 a day. That's where I'd want to see the demand of what we're looking at. And if, have I hit a ceiling? You know, is it 10 sales a day? Is it 20 sales a day? Is it one sale a day? I'd want those things to be also factored in, because that would make it where I was like, well, wait a minute here. This thing's selling 20 a day. I am just not even going to look at it. I'm just going to like, I'm not even going to get 10 feet from this thing because it's doing very well. Not touching it, right? Why change it if it's working? Unless you go, it's selling 10 a day or 20 a day, but it has the potential to sell 30 a day, 50 a day. It might be worth tweaking. So I think that needs to be also considered.
Scott, we talked a little bit about search demand. What size of searches do you consider high demand, or do you look at search volume at all?
Yeah, no, this is a great question. And I think this is also another mistake that a lot of Etsy sellers are making, is they're looking at keyword search volume. And this is why I feel like it's a mistake. There is no tool on the market, and if there is one telling you that they're giving you exact data that is coming from Etsy, they're lying. Now, I don't know of any tools that are saying that. They're very, very clear that it's usually their own algorithm that has been built, okay, from different data points, okay? I never look at search volume as a factor as far as does it have enough demand. What do I look at? The only thing that matters, sales. That's all that matters. Okay. Now, if you want to look at it and go, oh, there's a lot of searches for this, there's a lot of searches for this, and there's a lot of searches for this, that's fine. It shows you that there's a different angles that people are trying to find this product. But at the end of the day, we want to know how many sales are coming, not just from a keyword, but from this product, this type of product. Because if we start there, then we know, okay, this is the potential. Now we just have to reverse engineer and say, how are people searching to discover this product? And then I have to also look at other factors in, you know, in that, you know, optimization as far as not just keywords. I'm like, okay, it's selling a lot, but what does this seller have that I don't have? Maybe it has a lot of reviews, right? Maybe the age of the shop is 5 years and yours is 6 months. So there's those things that I'd be looking at as far as also factors, can I compete? But as far as the demand goes, if we're looking at keyword volume or if we're looking at sales volume, I'm leaning on sales volume all day long because that's what really, really matters. And that's what I would recommend anyone that is going down this road. And if you're brand new and you're just seeing this for the first time, I'm so glad that you tuned in to see this part of this video, because this is, to me, this is a huge mistake, massive mistake, because you're going to be disappointed because you can go, oh, it's got 10,000 searches. Yeah, I'm going to be rich. And then all of a sudden you find out that, no, that's really not 10,000. It's more like 1,000 and no one's really buying it. Right, Chris?
I'd rather have a keyword with 100 purchases and 200 searches than right. 10,000 searches exactly. and 50 purchases, right?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I don't care what somebody's typing in to find my product no. as long as they add it to their cart and they buy it, yep. right? Sherry Poppins, who already had her spoonful of sugar this morning, says, I like Pop Pop. Then she said, can you just add a duplicate listing and update it as you wish? I am not a fan. And Scott, you and I went on a rant about yep. this a few weeks ago of duplicate listings. The only thing creating a duplicate listing does is split your traffic potential, split your data across two different listings. Yep. If you want to test something, then go ahead and test it. Now, there could be, and Scott, you could probably make an argument to me, Sherry could probably make an argument to me that, you know, it's selling really well and I want to test the other title. Maybe, but 99.99% of the time, it's better just to test it. You can always flip it back and you're going to get all of the same rankings back. But I would rather see you making those changes to that main listing. Once you get through the basics of SEO, you should already know what keywords are working. So you shouldn't be making a ton of different title changes, right? We get ourselves 90% of the way there by creating that human readable title from Jump Street, then we don't have to worry about it. If we're coming back and editing older listings and, you know, this is your top selling listing that sells 500 a day or something like that, then maybe. But if we're creating it right from the beginning, then all we have to do is make small tests and tweaks, and there'd be no reason to create that duplicate listing and split that traffic. Pedro, who made his first sale today, I believe, said Etsy ads, yoga mat, and the keywords are yoga and Pilates. Here we are with the air quotes again, Scott. Even though there can't be a more yoga product than a yoga mat, and the keywords yoga and Pilates alone are too broad and better turned off. So I'm assuming what you're talking about here, Pedro, is you're selling a yoga mat and the keywords that are showing up for ads are yoga and Pilates. And is that the interpretation, Scott, you got of this as well?
Yeah. Yep.
So if somebody is searching for yoga, absent of any data, because obviously the data is always going to be our guide here,
yep.
but absent of any data, would you say that yoga is too broad of a keyword for a yoga mat?
No, I think that's, I think, again, though, I would let the data tell me, right? Let the data tell me. If I'm running Etsy ads and I'm selling a yoga mat, okay, if someone is searching yoga stuff, there's a chance they're going to be interested in that. That's true. Here's where I would look at the data. I would be looking at, okay, I've got yoga. It shows me that people search for yoga, and it showed me that I had 100 clicks on that, but no one purchased the yoga mat. Now I'm thinking about turning that off. That's the only time I'm going to make that decision, because sometimes too, people, what they'll do is they'll see, oh, I got 10 clicks on that and no one bought. It's too little. I'm looking at usually, and Chris, I mean, I know you probably agree, maybe not. Maybe you have a higher number, lower number. I'm looking at 100. I like the number of 100 because we can base percentages very easily off of 100 people. If we get 100 people that we know are interested in yoga, and we show them a yoga mat and they don't buy, they're still interested in yoga. It's just, they weren't looking for a mat. Okay. And so the 100 people, if we get one sale, that's 1% conversion. That's about what I'm looking for at a bare minimum. 2-4% is even better. But I would say I wouldn't turn it off until I let the data tell me to turn it off.
Yeah. And the general answer to that is if it's something somebody would type in to find your specific product, cool. Are they going to type in mug to find this?
Right.
Probably not, right? Because there's a million different things that mug can mean. And I know that the other example, Scott, that we use is wood for yep. something, you know, like a really specific reclaimed wood homemade sign. Somebody's yep. typing in wood. What do they want to find? Probably lumber, not right. a finished product, right?
Yes.
So if that's the case, if it's not hyper relevant to your product and it's not something a logical person would type in to find your product, yep. then turn it off. If it is, and there's a reasonable chance somebody would do it, leave it on and let the data be your guide. And Scott, we had one other question here that got a ton of discussion in the comments. So I wanted to bring that up before we let you go. And it was, is alt text in images helpful for SEO? The answer is yes. You should be filling in the alt text on your images. Not only will it help you rank higher in Google, not only are those images indexed by Google, but Etsy specifically says that they use their alt text as an extra place for keywords. Just make sure you're filling it out properly. You should not be stuffing a bunch of keywords in there.
Exactly.
The purpose of alt text is to describe the image in as much detail as possible. What happens when you do that? You happen to squeeze in a bunch of really useful keywords. And so, Scott, this is another good use for ChatGPT. If you have no idea how to write alt text, take that image, upload it to ChatGPT or to Gemini and ask it to write the alt text for you. It will do some image recognition and get you most of the way there. And then all you have to do is come back and rewrite the things that don't make sense. Or you can learn the process that way and then just go in and fill in the alt text in your images. But it is a keyword rich area that most people skip and really should not be ignoring.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great tip for anyone too. Now, is this going to be a magic bullet that's going to, you know, you're going to put that out there and all of a sudden you're going to rank and beat your competition? No, but it is an opportunity, another place that Etsy is allowing you to put information about your product that can help identify it. So we want to use all of these opportunities the best that we can. All right. So guys, this was a great call. A lot of people attended this one. Over 221 people still on right now. So we want to thank each and every one of you. We also wanted to let you know that if you are not yet a subscriber of this YouTube channel or the podcast, you probably want to do so because we show up here on Wednesdays doing stuff just like this. We do trainings. We do the news. You know, we'll do all different things that's going to help you and your brand on Etsy. So if you're not yet subscribed, make sure you subscribe. Make sure that you like this video as well. Give it a little bit of love so it helps us reach more people. That'd be awesome. And then lastly, if you would like to get a behind the scenes look, a backstage pass at some Etsy shop audits that we do some coaching in the back, all right, of our Backstage Pass Club. That's why we call it that. And we air them on the podcast publicly, but not for weeks or months later, but we batch record these. Chris and I meet once a month, usually once a month, maybe every 3 weeks sometimes. And we record 3 to 4. We've got one coming up and we're going to be doing 3 more. And if you'd like to attend that, you can head on over to brandcreators.com/club or brandcreators.com/join or one other option. If you're on YouTube, just where it says subscribe, right next to it, there's a join button. You click on that. Within one more click, you're going to be a member and we'd appreciate it. And it would be a lot of fun. That's where the cool kids hang out, we're told. So anyway, we're going to be doing that. We answer live Q&A. You also get the replay immediately. You don't have to wait for it to air. And it's just a lot of fun. So if you're interested, make sure that you head on over to, let me throw that up there one more time. And it's right there. brandcreators.com/club and you can join us and we'll be meeting tomorrow at noon Eastern time. All right. So guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. This is always a highlight of our week. We appreciate each and every one of you. Hopefully it's helped you. If it has, let us know. What is one thing you took away from today's call? Let us know in the comments. All right, guys, that's it. That's going to wrap it up. As always, take care, take action, have an awesome, amazing day. We'll see you right back here in the next episode. Take care, guys.